Live from the Pathway Studios in Johnston proper, you are Live from the Path.
And you're listening to Live from the Path. We're coming from the Pathway Studios here in Johnston proper. It's going to be with you this calm, cool Monday evening. Mike, what do Americans think about adultery?
They're for it.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Well, can get away with
that. That's rough times. So I saw that there was an article, and here's the deal. This is the week after I swore off surveys, as I thought to myself, I'm going to stop reading these stupid surveys. They're dragging me around. But then this survey comes up, and I couldn't pass it up, and it's basically Americans' opinions on adultery, or it's not even just Americans, it's like Christians' opinions, American Christians' opinion on Christians. Adultery. Do you think that, it's markedly different?
Well, I mean, I would submit that, like, after I decided to follow Jesus, my opinions became irrelevant. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. I mean, I hope it would not be. That's kind of picking and choosing what parts of the Lord you want to dig on, but, I suppose I'm interested.
Okay, so as soon as I can find that article, which I've lost somewhere, we're going to do that. Mike, you said you got a couple things?
Yeah, so it's very rare that I'm blown away by stuff I see in the news, right? Like, I read the newspaper and I'm like, man, I just had no idea. And it happened to me this week, and I'm still blown away by it, because, like, even after clicking on some stuff and doing a little research, I just have no idea where this came from. And it's the science march. I had no idea. I was reading the paper on Sunday, and they're like, the science march. I'm like, what? People are against science. What? And so I went on to Facebook or whatever, and people are like, yeah, I'm marching in the science march. They're like, but the attack on science. I'm like, I just had no idea this was going on. Like, I literally had no clue that, I mean, if there's a standard issue, a demographic that would be, you know, categorizes maybe against science, maybe it would be the white Christian male, I guess. And I'm like, I have no idea that this was a deal.
Was it a march against?
It was for.
Oh, for, yeah.
Yeah,
that's
they
what I figured,
said that, yeah. That the head spokesman's like, the tides are turning against science. I'm like, what? Because here's the deal. As the guy that sits on the Lord created the earth side, I feel like the tides are turning against me. So what are people for? You know what I'm saying? Like, I had no idea. I'm completely blown away. Huh. I was completely taken aback. And people were changing their Facebook photo profile to match it. And I'm not against it. I just had no idea it was even an issue. I didn't know that there was, like, a general feeling that people were starting to turn against science. Is it in response to the Trump administration in some way or something?
I think people are turning against the politicalized science.
I mean, that's not what the head spokesman says. The head spokesman's like, people are turning against science. I'm like, who feels this way? I had no idea.
I don't. Yeah, here's the deal. It's like, actually, the most conversations I hear where people are actually debating something, they're trying to prove it through reasonable scientific means. Like, I've not seen a lot of debates between people where they're like, you know what, science is stupid.
Well, that's why I'm completely floored by this march. I'm like, I had no idea that people were now against science or whatever. Although they had some really funny jokes. You know, like one of the guys said, hey, we think the numbers for the science march were pretty high, but we have to compare those against the placebo march that's also going on to see if it was actually a high turnout.
And that's funny.
I'm like, that's funny. You know, there's some guys that get their own standing, you know? But like I said, I clicked some person that I was friends on Facebook with or whatever is like, I'm going to the science march, and they had an organization thing, so I clicked on it, and I read it, and I'm like, I mean, I just, gee golly, boys, I just had no idea this was an issue.
You know what's interesting about the science march is, like, a lot of the things that they're protesting or they're concerned about, they don't actually have a lot of hard data to back up, right? Like, the types of folks where you'd be like, they'd have empirical data and studies that show that science and blah, 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 and, like,
they have a general feeling?
Yeah.
And they don't want conversations about it either.
Yeah. Yeah, like, we feel like it's being degraded.
Yeah.
And then they want it. There's certain conversations that they don't want to have, or like they basically already cut off. And I think you'll recognize this. There's a lot of your prime political issues, right? Like where that debate is dead. Well, I mean, I suppose to you, but like, since you don't dictate the world truth of anything, debate is not dead. and I think we have empirical means to make certain comparisons to things. Frankly, I think that's what makes the case for life, versus not life, and, certain ways of treating people. And so, it's interesting where I think starts to drop, the science itself is becoming emotionalized. It's becoming an investment in an opinion that is otherwise, at least supported from their perspective by science. Or like we would come from the same perspective, we just don't seem to be hung up about it.
You know what though? You got some people who are emotionally attached to a particular set of data because they think it backs up their opinion. The same way in the Christian world, some people will get emotionally attached to a scripture thinking, and it's taken out of context,
right?
You know, but that's what they wanted to say. So they're like, they'll go to the wall for that scripture. And it's like, yeah, but that's not accurate. And it's kind of the same thing.
No, that's true. That's true. It is the same thing. And I suppose we should at least recognize the behavior. People want something to be true in a certain way with no other. They don't want any complication either. They just want to believe the thing they believe full force.
And this reinforces it. So therefore, I'm closing my mind to everything else.
Well, it was weird because what I was looking for was like a political tinge to it, and they're like, we're an apolitical organization. And blah, 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 science. And I'm like, you know, if you'd asked me yesterday, I'm like, I'm for science. Yeah, okay. And then I just had no idea there was this. Maybe I just hang out in a weird circle of people that are not for or against science, or we don't talk about it. But, like, this vibe that is supposedly going around of where people are turning against the scientific community, I feel like I'm just not feeling that.
So are these people who generally were conservative in nature or more liberal in nature?
No, they just said apolitical.
I mean, that is what they say, but like the people you know who were part of it.
Well, I don't know. There are some folks I ain't seen in a while. I'd probably put them maybe a hair on the liberal, more liberal side.
I was just trying to get a feel for like, what are they, what?
Yeah. I mean, you know, they're reasonable folks. You know, they never struck me as crazy people.
I mean, I wouldn't march in the thing, but I'm for science. I mean, I'm not against science.
I would march in a lot of stuff, you know? I mean, maybe I just don't dig on marches. That's possible. Just people marching in general. I don't generally get involved, I suppose, but.
I'm paying a lot of money to help my daughter become a scientist, so.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. She's doing the Alzheimer's research now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Real life, legitimate stuff. She'll be in medical studies.
Oh, man. That sounds heavy town.
I know. It's heavier than me.
I only read summary articles on the Wikipedia about stuff of this nature.
I'm for. I mean, like I said, it's not very often where I, you know, I mean, 15 people get murdered in a bar. I'm like, yeah, I saw that coming. You know, people drowning in a river. I'm like, yeah, okay, that happens sometimes. And then all of a sudden they're like, people are against science and we're marching to protect it. I'm like, what? I just had no clue that there was this going on.
Who was the dude lately that said the world's flat again? Wasn't that like a basketball guy?
Oh, yeah, there was a basketball player, yeah.
Yeah, Shaq or something? Or I shouldn't put a name to it. I don't remember. It was somebody I was like, what?
Yeah.
We have these satellites, you know, they kind of...
Now, that guy just doesn't trust anybody. Right?
Yeah. Do you imagine the amount of distrust you'd have for not only the current, but the historical evidence, science in general? Like, I mean, this guy, I mean, if let's say that on the whole, which is not actually true, that the scientific community looks at the religious community and goes, look, we just can't get along. Then there's flat earth, man. Like, I mean, he's just got to be the bulbous third leg of this whole thing where they're like, you're just not even sitting on any reasonable fence here.
Isn't that kind of, though, the natural progression of where a society that has given up on ultimate truth, you know, everything's relative? I guess that's where you end up, is that science, which is based on facts, They start going, yeah, no, I don't think so.
That's not how I feel.
I mean,
yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, actually, I'll be honest with you. So I'm having the hardest time with the scientific community when it comes to things like transgenderism. Like, it baffles me. Like, that seems to me to be the point of which you actually run into people who are like, you know, it's a chromosome thing. It just is. This is the way things are determined. And so, like, I'm baffled at the scientific, like, the biological and the medical community in some ways that they're interacting with some of this stuff. Because, like, this is their wheelhouse, man. Like, they're the guys who would say, where I'm just like, the Chinese would hold the spoon over the belly and go, we think it's a girl because the spoon tilted to the left.
Yeah.
And they would say, no, it's just a chromosome issue. And then the same conversation is going on today, and they're like, well, you know, Maybe not. I don't know.
Let's go to the spoon.
Could be anything. Yeah. And so, like, I actually don't understand that. I don't understand how people
you
in those fields.
The money.
Oh, you think they're just.
Well, I mean, that's where their grants are coming from. There's a lot of pressure to be on the we'll say liberal side of the political issues, and that's where the universities are.
I just want to understand to what gain though. Like, if you let's say you follow the money to there, and then they're like, yeah, okay, we're in, and then more money gets given to what? You know what I'm saying? Like.
Yeah.
What do you mean, yeah, though? I'm not following your past.
I mean, that's where their income is coming from. That's where their houses are coming. You know, I mean,
yeah, but let's say they had everything they wanted. They're like, okay, look, we're going to stop worrying about this. Let's say in general everybody just gave up on it. Like, look, you want to be a dude woman, that's your deal. That sounds great. We're not gonna cause any stink over about it. You do whatever you want, right? It's fine. We'll give you health insurance. You get your own bathroom. It covers it. We'll just be done with this, okay? Do what you want. And then what happens? Then where's all the money come from? Like, what's the ultimate goal? It's just a way to make money, but it's got to stop somewhere. What if they give it everything they want?
I don't know. Ask Solomon. He never got it.
Solomon was pushing for transgender bathrooms?
No, I mean,
it's
he
the
never
wind.
Had enough.
Oh.
There's always more.
Tricky. Is there someone we can talk to? Maybe I'll look around.
I don't know. I was going to invite someone on the Facebook that was part of the Science March just to explain it to me. You know, just to give me the gist
Please
of it so
tell
I can
me
understand.
About the Science March. Okay. All right. So... there's a Christianity Today article, and it said, adultery in 2017, Christians rank what counts as cheating. It says, Christians, survey finds evangelicals are more accepting of politicians' unfaithfulness, but disapprove of flirty texting. I'm not sure there's a difference here. All right, here we go. Alabama Governor Robert Bentley went far beyond what most Americans, including his evangelical supporters, consider cheating, according to a new survey. Mike, are you familiar with Bentley?
No.
Bob Bentley resigned Monday, this was last Monday, amid an investigation into administration-wide efforts to cover up his ongoing affair with an aide who previously attended his Sunday school class. Oh. Among the evidence against the former governor are logs of romantic text messages the two exchanged while Bentley was still married to his wife of 50 years. And if I remember right, like these are, there's a link. That doesn't matter.
50-year marriage. So he's probably in his 70s.
Oh, yeah.
At least.
Yeah.
Huh.
Well, I mean, he looks like a skeleton.
It says his sloppy communication revealed his secret. His wife saw the messages on her iPad, which had been synced over the cloud to the governor's phone. You look beautiful, and I'm so in love with you, followed by heart-eyed emojis.
Here's the deal. I mean, I don't know, it's a continuity thing. All my iStuff does this, right? Like, my text messages show up on my wife's phone all the time. And I know that. And I don't care. You know what I'm saying? Like, it didn't bother me one bit. I mean, there's some pretty, we'll say vulgar, if I'm talking to one of my work fellas. You know what I'm saying? They don't actually know my wife gets text messages from them. So, I mean, I have to tone it down for language on occasion. But otherwise, like, I do that on purpose just as a thing. You know what I'm saying? I don't ever want it to be a thing that my wife's ever worried about. So, like, I don't care if she sees my text messages.
So it says evangelicals more likely than Americans on average, but less likely than mainline Protestants and Mormons to consider such text messages as a form of infidelity, according to new research by YouGov and Deseret News. Flirtatious messages cross a line into cheating for 58% of evangelicals and over half of Americans overall, the survey found. Significantly more, 75% of evangelicals and 69% of Americans see sexually explicit texts as cheating. So I assume the one is a flirtatious message, the second is like pics of yourself or direct requests for items.
Sure.
Evangelicals were more likely than any other religious group to say it would be unfaithful to go out to dinner with someone you're attracted to. The instinct relates to the recent discussion of the Billy Graham rule, which bars men and women from spending one-on-one time with people of the opposite sex other than their spouse. Recently, Mike Pence came under some pretty significant fire for saying he doesn't go out to dinner with any ladies other than his spouse.
People were against that?
Yeah. It was. I mean, there's a lot of things you could be upset with Mike Pence about, probably. The haircut with starters. But, like, I mean, I don't know why this is a problem.
I mean, that's pretty standard. Yeah. I support that.
So, let's look at some of these. Let's look at some of these reports here. So, how often, if ever, would you say the following activities would be cheating on a spouse or partner? All right, so I'm going to give you the activity, and I want you guys to tell me the percentage of evangelicals. Let's just Yeah, evangelicals and the percentage of what you think the U.S. average is, okay, as to whether they consider this cheating. All right, so I'll give you the first one as an example. So following an ex on social media.
Okay.
23% of evangelicals thinks this is cheating on a spouse or your partner. 16% of the U.S. average is the U.S. average.
Okay.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
All right, two, watching pornography without your partner. Evangelical percentage. Mike, how many think it's cheating?
Got to be 75. 80.
Dan?
Yeah, I was thinking 70s too. We're going to go 77.
Okay, 77. And how, U.S. average?
40. 30-something.
52.
It is 31% of evangelicals.
31%?
19% is the U.S. average.
Wait, they would have to agree that it's sinful. They're just saying that it's not cheating on your spouse.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that's not a terrible distinction. That's exactly what it is. Yeah. That's the part that makes it sinful.
this next one's interesting to me relative to the last one. Going to a strip club without your partner. Mike.
85%. Yeah, 90. 80
for evangelicals, and how about the U.S. average?
Yeah, 40.
Dan?
Okay, I've lost my confidence in them.
30% on the porn thing. I mean, that's ridiculous.
45% of Christians say that's cheating. And 12% of non-Christians.
So Dan's summation is that the strip club is less of a cheating for the U.S. average. They consider it less of a problem, but Christians think it's more.
Yeah.
Okay. So going to a strip club without your partner would be cheating 37% of evangelicals.
You gotta be kidding.
23% is the U.S. average. Here's what's interesting to me is what is the difference? Like, who are the 6% that moved who said porn, no problem? Strip club, problem.
Well, I'm thinking porn is you're in the shadows and you're being secretive. And the strip club, you're just hanging out with some buddies.
Yeah, but I mean, aren't you in a bigger shadow? Like, isn't the strip club just a larger shadow?
Agree with you.
With other people that like shadows too? Yeah, I mean, I hear you.
I'm just trying to get in the people's, you know, head.
Trying to get in their mind.
No, stay out of shadows,
like
Dan.
I don't like what's going on in their mind.
All right, here we go. Going out to dinner with someone that you are attracted to. Mike.
What I think the evangelicals would say?
Yep.
45.
And U.S. average?
8.
You think 8% think it's a problem?
Yeah, they don't care.
Okay, Dan.
They think it's a problem. So many contexts are flitting through my head right now. I'm going to go, you're hitting all the numbers that kind of come to my gut.
Right
first.
On, Dan.
I'm going to say that 48% of Christians think that's a bad idea, and 2% of non-Christians.
Interesting. Both of you went super low on the U.S. average.
I don't trust them.
So it's 53% of Christians.
Okay.
They've done better than you thought. And 37% is the U.S. average.
53% of Christians are against this, but only 30-some against the porn and the strip club?
Yeah.
Boy, that's weird.
Yeah.
I mean, okay.
Well, 23% says following an ex on social media. I might grant that it might be unnecessary, but I'm not
snooping.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's cheating.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I've been curious before, like a former girlfriend, but I don't know.
What if she asked you? She sent you a friend request, like, hey.
It depends. Doesn't it depend on the nature of your relationship, right?
Like, I would talk to my wife on that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd be like, hey, this.
Hey,
yeah.
Is all right?
Hey.
All right.
I'm going to a strip bar later. Can I friend my ex-girlfriend?
Yeah, that's fine. Just don't friend that woman. Okay.
Here we go. Sending flirtatious messages to someone other than your partner.
It's got to be in the 70s for the Christians and in the 15s for the non-Christians.
Okay. Dan.
Okay, I'm going higher. I'm going to go 92 for Christians and 78 for non-Christians.
Interesting. 58% for evangelicals.
Mm-hmm. An outright flirtatious text?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's okay.
I'm outraged, mildly. And, yeah.
I'm against it.
The U.S. average is 51. You know what's interesting? Both sides of the accordion squeeze on this thing are interesting to me. Evangelicals seem a lot more tolerant than I would expect them to be. But the U.S. average also seems to be a lot more middle ground than what I expected. Uh-huh. Like they're tailing the Christian by 7% on sending of flirtatious messages.
But like they think it's wrong, but they do it anyway.
That's not the context of the survey, Dan.
Oh.
They did not claim to continue me doing it. They're just saying, I would consider it cheating if my spouse did the following. All right, here we go. Let's try this one. Actively maintaining an online dating profile.
I mean, got to be in the 90s, doesn't it, Ben? Got to be in the 90s, both rounds.
Okay, Mike's going with 90s for everyone. Dan?
Okay, I'm
going
to go 100% for Christians. Uh-huh. That's a step of faith right there for me. And 89% worldly.
I mean, knock me on my butt and call me Susan. 68% of Christians say this is cheating, which means there's 32% they're like,
yeah,
no worries.
Just keeping an active online dating profile.
Sheesh.
No reason.
We are not saying the right things to people. 63% is the U.S. average. Five percentage point difference between the Christians and the U.S. average. I don't understand either of these.
Well, yeah, I want them to explain this to us.
This is where the internet has messed with people's minds, right? What is the difference between keeping an active online dating profile and going out to a bar and trying to solicit someone from the opposite sex?
Taking your ring off and saying, hey.
It's exactly the same thing. And you would be like, online dating profile, well, you can do that in your undies at 10 at night, so that's cool. No problem.
Yeah, you're right. Like that was the same kind of shadowed reaction they had to the porn. It was like, well, as long as you're kind of doing it secretively with and not doing it out in the middle everywhere.
Evangelicals are stupid.
I don't. And there's the interesting, they had other sections of Catholic, mainline Protestant, Mormon, and unaffiliated, but all the dots are gray, so they can't be determined on the chart.
Oh.
You can't make a distinction between them.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Sending sexually explicit messages to someone other than your partner.
Well, I mean, that's got to be in the 90s, doesn't it?
That's a great idea.
Got to be in the 90s and the 80s for the non-church.
Dan, you don't know what to think anymore, do you? They're jacking with it.
Okay, I'm going to say Christians 82% and non-Christians 78%.
No, you overshot this one, Dan. 75% of Christians say this is always cheating. 69% is the U.S. average.
Sexually explicit?
Yeah, sexually explicit. Hey, I'd like to have sex with you. Here are the ways.
Well, that's not cheating.
I don't understand. I don't understand. This is worse than the dating profile. I don't. So put these in perspective, though. Look at how low pornography is. And it represents the widest gap between Christians and the U.S. average so far has been the going out to dinner with someone. The second one is the strip club. The third one is the porn.
So and what's interesting to think about is, like, people tend to put on airs in a survey, right? So at least some of these guys are half shining it in, you know, like, yeah, porn's bad. You know what I'm saying? They don't actually think that. They're just saying that so they don't look like a dirty perv on a survey. And so, like, factor that in, and we're down at, like, in the 20s.
Yeah, because if 19% said it was cheating to watch porn without your partner, and 16% were the U.S. average on following an ex on social media, or even if we look at the Christians. Christians were 23% it was cheating. So a quarter of Christians say it's cheating to follow an ex on social media. They're also obviously voting yes on the watching the porn. So you really only added 8% of the population. The other 23% are kind of the ultra stiffs who say no social media.
Yeah, they hate everything anyway.
So I'm
they
just
don't
saying.
Even know, they said blah, blah, blah on social media, and they're like, I don't know what social media is.
Yeah. So that Twitter bird's nude, I know it.
Yeah.
So even that 8% is probably not a big move away from the, like, ultra hardcore folks who said you can't follow the ex. All right, here we go. Romantically kissing someone other than your partner.
Boy, if that's got to be in the hundies, Ben. That's got to be in the hundie plus one for both rounds.
Dan.
Okay, 96% for Christians and 89% for non-Christian.
Again, your optimism astounds, Dan. 78% for evangelicals. 78! You can smooch on someone else romantically.
Not like, even just a peck on the cheek, but like a full-blown hello, how you doing?
Yeah, romantically kissing someone. Yeah. Yeah.
That throws a whole image in there. That.
Yeah. And 71% is the U.S. average. Amazing.
I mean, I don't know what to say here.
Flabbergasted, right?
Here's the thing we're not good at, making disciples. I'll tell you that. We stink at it.
Here we go. Having a one-night stand with someone other than your partner.
No, it's got to be in the low 20s, Ben. It's acceptable by everybody.
Oh, it was just once.
Yeah. Holy cats. Yeah, I'm not kidding. 20s on to Jesus, folks. And you know what? We'll just say the world rocks at 25% for the world people.
Dan.
It's got to be 100%. If it's not, I'm not going to... No, I won't say anything. And it's... Gosh, how can anybody? It's 100 and 100.
I mean, the question is, would you say the following activities would be cheating?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's what cheating is.
Even Bill Clinton knows this.
Yeah, yeah. And knows enough to hide, attempted to hide such a thing.
It's in the divorce language when the people are doing the prenups. Hey, man, if you do this, that's cheating.
Let's see. For Christians, 77%.
What? 77%.
73%. For the U.S. average. And so if you didn't catch it, the vote for romantically kissing someone for the Christian was 78%. The one night stand, the dalliance, is at 1 point lower. Some guy flipped the switch because he's probably guilty of it.
He didn't mean anything.
Oh, man. Right. Maybe because the word, if you said having a romantic one night stand, do we feel like that is more of a commitment?
Yeah, like there's like one candle involved and all of a sudden it's fine. Come on.
All right. And to top it off, here we go. Having regular sexual relations with someone other than your partner. Mike Christians.
15% Jesus, folks. 35% world.
We're supposed to love people.
Dan.
100. I don't care where they are. I will not move the bar.
82% for the Christians.
Regular?
Regular sexual relations with someone other than your partner.
Note, the definition in the Bible of marriage is regular sexual interaction with someone of the opposite sex.
This literally hurts my heart.
I know. It's indiscernible. Like, I can't even make any sense of it at all.
82%. Seriously. They're not even saying have you been guilty of this thing, or do you feel like a blah, blah, blah. This is just, we're just basically trying to agree, is this cheating? And these people are so guilty that they say, no, it's not.
Oh.
Well, if other people do it.
Hey, okay, so here's what's interesting. So now I found one that's got the right colors on it. So if you bring in, mainline Protestants tend to be a little bit harsher than evangelicals.
Okay, but on the biggest one with the sexual relations on the regular basis.
Okay, here we go.
Only in the 90s.
Yeah, the most restrictive is at like 90 or 89% or so. Mainline Protestants say you can't. It's having regular sex with someone that's not your partner would be considered cheating. So that's still 1 out of 10 Protestants you shake a hand with are like, you know what, it's all right.
Yeah, it's fine.
So on these few that are like even the regular, like how would they define it? What finally makes it, you know, cheating?
Yeah, I don't know.
Or are they just like?
Let me see.
I mean, there are some, especially women in general will probably like if they don't feel like it was an emotional cheat, it was just a sexual thing. They tend to not view that as harshly.
Yeah, I can see my wife saying, well, no, that's no big deal.
I mean,
as long as your heart wasn't in it.
Yeah, I can't see it. And, I think women that feel that way are foolish. But, I've seen it. We'll just say I've seen that.
Yeah, yeah.
But we can't all agree that having regular sex with somebody else is cheating. That's what cheating is. That's the worst of the worst. I was on board with all the way up to the very first one I find to be in the gray. The following an ex on social media. I'm like, I don't know. I can go either way on that. But anything past that, from the porn on down, yeah, that's cheating as far as I'm concerned.
These are people who are having active affairs that have justified it in their heads, and now they're justifying it on a survey.
Yeah, to the point where they tell, and maybe this goes back to the point you guys were talking about earlier, to the point where we want to move the definition of what cheating is.
Yeah.
Right. That, because that's actually the root of the question, right? Is what is the definition of cheating? And we have some wildly disparate answers.
she's holding back from me, so I'm going to someone else. That's not cheating. I'm just doing what's right.
Right.
Or he's holding back, whatever.
Yeah, what did I had a guy one time tell me, and it was kind of an awkward conversation because this happened at work, but like, it was, he was talking about some marriage issues that he was having, and like, ultimately, it turned out that like, his wife basically asked him or invited him to use pornography because she didn't want to have sex with him that often.
Okay.
And I said, no, I don't. He says, but my wife said I should do it and it would be helpful to her. I'm like, well, I mean, that's a problem.
Yeah.
But no, because your wife did not, doesn't get to dictate like what is being faithful in your marriage. She could just be wrong in this matter. And like, it was a really awkward conversation.
Yeah.
Because his wife was totally in.
Yeah, I could see that as being a tough go.
Yeah.
Huh. Fascinating.
All right.
It is fascinating, right?
So I was looking at the comparison. So just trending-wise, Catholics tend to be a little bit less restrictive on almost all of these. As a matter of fact, the Catholics' responses were having sexual relations is down at like 60, maybe 68, 70. One out of three.
The regular sexual relations with someone else, 68% believe it's cheating.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man.
So the next time some prude comes up to me and says, I'm leaving your church, you said the word booby.
Yeah, right.
Obviously people need to hear this.
You know what?
Yeah, right.
Proof positive, Dan. Like, where are all these boobs at when someone says crap during a sermon and they're like, oh, this is terrible, it's the church, blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. All of a sudden people are up in arms. He said butter, he told a story about some blah, 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 blah. And they're like, I can't stand it here. This place is for the devil. And then we got 62%, 68% of the population being like, well, that may or may not be cheating. I mean, I don't know.
I got to leave. I got to have sex with my neighbor.
I mean, seriously.
This worship's driving me crazy.
No wonder people don't know what to think when they come to join the church. We wonder why people are so blah, blah, blah on Jesus with their half commitments and their BS stories, when actually the guys that are claiming the Christian flag are like cheating. You know, you can have sex with other people on the regular. I don't see what the big deal is.
Actually, where was this at? What were we just reading? Oh, it was in Malachi. It was in Malachi. It was like the priests and stuff. And like, I mean, God is just really upset because they were the guys who were supposed to hold a standard. And when the people were going crazy, they were supposed to rein them back in. And, like, he spends the first two, three chapters yelling at the priests and saying, uh-huh. Look, your job was to hold the line. I'd rather you shut the door of the temple rather than allow this kind of stuff to go on. And here you're permitting it, chasing after wives that aren't the wives of your youth and all kinds of business. And, like, I mean, God was really upset. They're supposed to be holding the line so that there's a light to the world. And here we are. We're like, you know, two out of three ain't bad. It's yeah. Okay.
Can we do a smoke signal to the world? Because the full-on light thing we're not good at.
What was that? I don't care about that question. Yeah, okay. Anyway, that was it. I couldn't put this together. I was hoping you fellas would, like, someone would nod ahead and go, yeah, that's what I thought. But, like, I mean, they just seemed outrageous to me.
This, you know what would scare me is, not scare me, I guess, but, like, if you can imagine the standard issue pastor man standing up in a group of 300, 400, 500 congregants on a Sunday, right? And you could literally scan the whole room and go, There's 20% of these people think that you can have sex regularly with other people. Like, what could I possibly do from this stage that is impeding them understanding? Why are they even here? Why would you come here? There's no way we even said that. There's no way over the last X number of years you've ever attended this church that we've ever said anything that could possibly represent that you can have sex with somebody else and it's not cheating. I don't understand why people come to church. You know what I'm saying? Why would you even identify yourself as an evangelical Protestant when you believe you can have regular sex with other people? I'm boggled.
Dan, why do people do that?
I've never understood that. Honestly, that's why I transitioned, well, years ago, to just saying Christ follower. I don't even use the word Christian anymore, generally, unless it's a negative term, because it's full of people like that. They use the word Christian, but they have no indication of following Jesus in their lives at all. They have no desire. They don't really give a rip what he says. And if he disagrees with them, then he's wrong and they're right. I thought, that's not following. And so if you were to really pull Christ followers, those numbers would be completely different.
Yeah, that
100%
would, different. God, that would be interesting. It would be interesting. How you even? Here's how would you weed those guys
how
out?
How do you know?
These people are voting on the Christian side. They're like, yeah, no, that's me.
Here's how you do it. Mm-hmm. You have a line of 100, and you start telling people, "Will you die for Jesus?" Yes. You can get take out 10 of them. The rest of the 90 are either going to leave, or they're going to stick around. Those are the ones you would want to pull.
You know what we should do?
What if all the Christians were at the front, Dan? We lost our entire survey.
Well, that's pretty extreme. I'm not really suggesting you do that, but
you need to create yourself a survey where there's one more dot on that graph and it says 12 disciples. You know what I'm saying? Just the 12 original disciples of Jesus Christ, right?
And well, you got one
there,
of them.
They're over there rocking the Hyundai. You know what I'm saying? Every question, they're like, yeah, that's cheating. 100%.
No, Judas is like, well.
So it seems like all people that are in to follow Jesus would go, yeah, that's wrong because Jesus said that's wrong. And that's what we're going to go with.
You know, I'm trying to figure out the right way to say this. I think how we got to some of this, oh, this is not going to sound good. All right, you guys have to take it.
It's science, isn't it, Ben?
Yeah, yeah. So here's the thing, is our lack of complete perspective, complete biblical perspective, I think is what feeds into this, is people got so used to hearing, wanting to hear, or only taking in my righteousness is not works-based, that they completely ignored the fact that both their lives and the world around them should change as good news permeates it. And so what has happened is you can have people like this who are like, yeah, you know, it's okay to have a one-night stand of my partner because it's not works-based righteousness. I'm saved by faith through grace. Like, there has to be something about... Like, it's not that it's not true, right? Like, you are most certainly saved by faith. But, like, when you've completely divorced believing in Jesus to actually following him, doing the things he did...
And be holy because I am holy.
Yeah.
And faith is an actionable item, right? Like, faith is not, I said so. Faith is, I do so. Right? And so, like, there's no possible way that you can... You are saved by Christ's righteousness. That's true. By faith, right? But you still have to have... You have to show that you believed that you believe that his righteousness is there.
You know, we have the most popular denominations out there. You go to the growing churches right now, and I'm not saying they're wimpy because they're growing, but the most popular denominations are exactly what you're saying. I mean, people aren't necessarily running to them because they think it's easier, but that's what they're hearing.
Right.
And that's exactly what drove me into ministry. In fourth grade, I was hearing this crap saying, that is a lie. That is not right.
Right.
That is incorrect. I mean, I figured it out in fourth grade.
It doesn't even make any sense, right?
No.
Like it's it's not a complete picture. Like you have to, it's not that it's not, it can't, well, here's the right way to think about it. It's a lie if it's not sitting in the right context. Right?
Right.
Like, that's the thing. It's like, you can say, well, it's true because the Bible says it. Well, the Bible says a lot of other things of which that sits in the context of. Mm-hmm. And when you divorce it from that, you're simply telling a half-truth, which is in effect a lie.
Yeah, but you won't even have grounds for divorce because I can cheat on you all I want to. I mean, that's just not even a biblical term.
Man. And here's the thing is all the times where you see God interacting with his people and he's so upset about what they have done or how they've acted, the retribution that comes from him is a call to his people always for repentance, right? And so even Jesus, like, is calling people to repentance, right? John the Baptist is calling to repentance. Jesus calls you to repentance. The God of the Old Testament calls you to repentance. It's an acknowledgement that you are doing things that are otherwise separating from a God, and coming back means you are not continuing to do those things, which means you're doing the right things. And so the implication that you don't have to do right things following Jesus is foolish, because as you follow Jesus, you will do right things. That's what it looks like to follow Jesus. But this thought process that somehow divorces what it is we do from what we believe is a false notion. It's the same notion that says I can be whatever gender I want, I can change the definitions of things as I please, and I don't have to deal with reality because I simply don't like it. It is a very similar thought process that divorces the truth of saying I love and follow Jesus, except for I don't act at all like I love and follow Jesus. That those two things don't go together. And like that's the great deceit is the thought that you have this belief system that has no impact on your actions and that allows you to do whatever it is that you want to do. That is a lie. That is a complete biblical lie. It is completely out of context. Regardless,
it's a functional lie. Yeah, right? It's functioning as a lie.
Yes, right. It's just not true. And to the extent that we want to make sure people, like, it's an overreaction. We say, well, people missed grace, right? Like, they're afraid because their dad used to whip him and take him to Bible to VBS and yell at them all the time if they didn't love Jesus. I get it. If you want to react to that negatively and say, look, there was grace in there that I never heard, then we need to correct that. But you don't correct that by throwing out the biblical understanding, Jesus' functional law understanding of what is it like to live following him.
We are exactly living out Romans, where Paul says that you know, that sin would abound, that grace would increase, you know, that we're like, well, hey, the more we do, the more God forgives us.
Yeah, right.
We wouldn't say it that way, but that's the mentality
that
we're doing. And it's being taught for us.
Well, it's being taught to us. Look at the teeter-totter of, like, I've seen way more people, like, granted, we got grace wrong. Some people get grace wrong. Some people preach grace wrong. Some people don't inform of grace correctly and, like, act like there's very little grace and it's all works, right?
But in which case your works are also a lie.
Correct.
Right? Same thing.
Correct. But, like, I've seen way more on the other side of the teeter-totter, right, where people are like, grace, do whatever you want. Grace, do whatever you want. Grace, do whatever you want. And, like, following Jesus, like, it's just like, if you think about belonging to anything, like, if he's inviting you into the kingdom of God, look at all the laws that he set forth in the Old Testament just to say, this is how my people are defined. This is how people will know that you are my people, right? It was their definitions of, this is what my people are, right? And then all of a sudden we decide that, like, we don't have to look anything like the God who saved us. We don't have to have any response to the gospel and the grace that has been given to us. People will just know, and we are part of the kingdom of God because we said so. Right? And that has to be, there's no way that can click in your mind as making any flipping sense at all.
Yeah. But I think we would be remiss as a community and a kingdom of people to not recognize that how we are framing some of these things, long-term influences, people will pull off implications of that we may not recognize. And so unless you're preaching the whole council, sit down. Like, there's just, you have to be careful with that type of thing. Just, and we don't overreact to mistakes, you just holistically react to mistakes. Okay. Well, I'm gonna let this thing go.
I'm not gonna sleep tonight.
That's wild.
Isn't it?
That's just wild.
It is. It is. And here's the thing. I mean, like, it's easy to say, no, this can't be the people. But, like, I mean, it's probably worse than I think, right? Like, obviously it's worse than I think. Yeah. And I think to myself, people can't think this. And sure enough, like, there's not a 20% margin of error here. Even if you were 5%, I would be like, that's still way too many when it comes to you being okay with your spouse, you know, consistently sexually engaging with other people. And so, like, you know, 20% is just too much. It's too much to be thrown away and act like we don't have a serious problem here. All right. Mike, what do you got? Didn't you have one more thing?
No, I think that was it. That science thing.
Yeah. All right. Well, do people need advice? Maybe we can help.
Yeah, there's some stuff going on here.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. Dear Life from the Path, I know some of your listeners have middle school, high school, and or college yearbooks, theirs or relatives they no longer want to keep. Instead of throwing them away, I'd like to offer the following options. Oh, a guy that's got the world all figured out. Here we go. 1. If the school still exists, see if they want it, of course. 2. Ask if the school's alumni association would like to have them. Or 3. Offer them to the local library for its local history section. This will save space in landfills and allow future generations to know what the school was like before they were born.
Hey, that's true. I went to go dump some fence stuff off at the landfill the other day, and they said, no room, dude, full up on yearbooks.
Yeah.
Just can't fit in anymore.
I mean, I realize that the tenet of scripture is hands and feet, right? Everybody's got their own place in this world. But Larry, in Grand Texas, he's caught on to an untapped market of these yearbooks that are really causing an upheaval in the world.
Wow.
And felt so strongly about it that he thought he'd write people and say, heads up, this yearbook thing's getting out of hand. I got an idea. 3 ideas, mind you, of how we can straighten this out.
I would assume that the average person who throws away a yearbook probably is the children of a deceased parent who are like, I don't know any of these people. I mean,
do you
throw that something? Like, I mean, I got a box of stuff that my kids will throw away someday. I'd have it looked at for 30 years, but I feel like I should have it.
Yeah.
I don't even know why.
I mean, is that a common thing? Like, I've never considered going through and checking my yearbooks.
Yeah. I still have my letter jacket. Like, why? Why? I mean...
Right.
I mean...
Something to put in, like, a glass case in your basement?
next to my Michael Jackson suit.
I have no advice. Thank you for your informing me of this problem.
Yeah, take that into consideration.
Yeah. Thanks, Larry. That's it. You know what I'm saying?
Does the secular not provide a response?
Yeah, I know. I read it, and I'm against it, so we're just going to move on. You're live from the path.
Science.
This is why people are marching. Dear Life from the Path, when we go to church with our daughters, ages 9 and 11, we are greeted at the door by an usher in his 70s. Mm-hmm. He has told our 9-year-old several times that he's going to marry her when she grows up. Mm-hmm. She doesn't know what to say. My husband and I don't like it. What should we do?
Well, where's Larry? Larry has three options.
He's 70, you say?
Just don't send any texts.
I mean, is he like that bubbly 70-year-old man that everyone remembers from their mom and dad's church when you grow up that, like, he just cannot stop smiling, his name's Norm, and he's just always happy all the time?
Yeah.
I mean, if it's that guy, I mean, feed your kid a witty retort or something, you know?
Exactly.
You might be a little old for me, Norm. Yeah. Or, you're going to be dead soon, Norm.
I like Mr. Smith better.
Yeah. If you can make it that long, or you know what I'm saying? I mean, there's a million options here. Like, if you don't think the guy's an actual perv ball, you know, just feed your 9-year-old with a cute thing to say, and then, I mean, if he's creeping you out, I don't know why your husband hadn't handled this already, you know?
Yeah.
You pull Norm aside, and you'll be like, look, you're friendly, and I love you, but, like, that comment's got to end, okay, bro? You get it?
Yeah, it's starting to creep her out.
Yeah, is the daughter creeped out or the parents?
It says,
They set the tone. I think it's the parents.
Yeah.
Yeah. She doesn't know what to say is the little girl's response.
I mean, my kid's 11 years old and doesn't know what to say in most social situations.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's true.
You smile awkwardly, and you go on and you forget about it.
Yeah.
That's true. You ask my kids what they got for Christmas and they clam up like you just asked them the hardest math test question ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, really. I mean, you got a couple options here, friend. One, if you really think it's a deal, pull Norm aside and say, look, Norm, you know, it's got to stop, okay? Hit on my wife or something, you know? Apparently we're okay with that. And two, you know, feed the 9-year-old a witty retort and have her smile, and that's it. You know, she's gonna have to learn to deal with creepy folks anyway. Secular says, tell the usher privately that his comment is not appreciated. Discuss it with the minister afterwards, if necessary. Your daughter is a nice girl, but I wouldn't blame her if she told him, if you're still alive and I'm breathing by the time I'm grown up, I'll consider it.
Yeah, there you go. What you intended for her, I think, is a witty, fun retort for Norm.
Yeah.
I would include some college funding in that.
Yeah.
Let's get married early and pay my way.
I mean, tell the minister. I mean, what is he, the warden?
Hey, we just talked about that. People don't know how to handle stuff, so they call on the doctor or the minister. Hey, sit here and arbitrate my problems.
Crazy. All right, dear life from the path. I have a 16-year-old stepdaughter, parentheses Candy. My wife recently discovered 3 bottles of liquor in the car Candy drives. Mm-hmm. When confronted, she told my wife the booze was for an upcoming party. We grounded her. My wife called her ex-husband to tell him their daughter is grounded and he would have to pick her up on his visitation weekend, as she won't be driving. He then informed my wife he was the one who bought her the booze. I'm dumbfounded and don't know how to handle this. Please advise. I'm assuming this is the current husband.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, the current husband. Not, I thought it was the ex.
The ex-husband bought the booze.
Oh, yeah.
For Candy.
Yeah.
The current husband is the one riding in.
Oh.
Yeah. So what's the advice? How do we handle this? I mean, if the
parental
kid
rights
came
need to be like
fast.
Snipped off right there. Bam.
I mean, can you do that? Will the courts abide? You say,
I mean, he's buying alcohol for a minor.
His children. That can put him in jail or at least fined. He's dangerous.
Yeah, that's a terrible idea.
I mean, here's
that's not just a ha-ha, you had a Bush Light while you were sitting in my house. Like, you bought alcohol and let her drive it in her car. She's 16 years old. That's preposterous.
Yeah, that's poor parenting.
That's child abuse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Turn them in.
Yeah. So that's it. Our advice is call the police on this.
Well, here's the thing. I'm always hesitant to drag have the police handle things. If it may not be necessary. I mean, do you say, look, this... Do you try to handle it first and say, look, never, this never happens again? Or do you just go to straight to you call the law and let them handle it?
Well, you have the conversation first, but also it's obviously going to end poorly because the guy's done what he believes. You know, yeah, I'll buy a bunch of alcohol for a little candy.
I mean, here's the thing. By the time a guy has made this kind of move, I just kind of across the board think he can't be rationalized with.
Right.
Right? I mean, this, a rational person doesn't do this anyway.
Right.
Right? So I would hope that my relationship is good enough with my stepdaughter or whatever and be like, Candy, come on now. You got to see how dumb this was.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I mean, your father just about got himself arrested, plus you, plus me. I mean, we got this. This has got to be an epic mistake. You know, something. I would work the daughter angle before I'd, I mean, what are you going to call him?
You need both. You definitely got to have both conversations. And
you could call him and be like, look, you know, Johnny X or whatever. Like, I mean, if this ever happens again, I'll kill you. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is just the stupidest, most irresponsible thing I've ever seen. Like, you really got to hate your kid to put him behind the wheel of a car. They're dangerous enough. Plus, buy him the booze while they're behind the car.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, dude.
I mean, even if she didn't drink a drop of it, like, you can still ruin her life if she would have got pulled over with that alcohol in the car.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so actually, maybe I'll, maybe I would say you got to go through the motions, which means you do have to call and talk to the ex. I think you do tell him if it happens again, blah, blah, blah. If he doesn't react to it poorly, maybe you turn him in now because obviously he's not learned any type of lesson, doesn't seem to think it's a big deal, and which is he's even more dangerous than previously thought. And so I think you go ahead and go through that while also working the daughter angle.
Yeah.
I think I'd even maybe call the police department just to see if they have, like, any wrecked cars laying around that was from a drunk driving situation, or they probably have films. They probably have all kinds of stuff.
Right.
They could just, they need to scare the heck out of this little girl who's making some, she seemed pretty excited about the idea. She needs to have that.
I mean, she did come
her.
Clean about the booze and it was going for a party.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
but she obviously has her dad's ignorance, right? Like, she has I'm not looking at the situation and recognizing how dangerous it is. Maybe I just think mom and stepdad are overreacting. And so that's the thing you really are trying to combat is helping her understand that, like, this was not overreaction. As a matter of fact, we are underreacting to a certain extent.
All right, Secular says, Candy is only 16, so she can be forgiven her lapse in judgment. Her father is old enough to know better than to hand over bottles of alcohol to his minor child. In the state of Texas, he has violated the law. The legal age for consumption or possession of alcohol is 21, with few exceptions. If you are smart, there's exceptions? Texas.
I think wine.
Oh. Wait a minute. Is that true in every state or just Texas?
I don't know. I'm just making that up, too. I was just trying to think what I might think is a reasonable exception.
If you are smart, you will stay out of it. Your wife and your ex should discuss this and reach an agreement about how this will be handled in the future. No, come on, man. No. Don't stay out of it. Get in there. Get involved with that jazz. You can't just leave them hanging up on their own there.
Yeah. I agree. I don't think you can just leave that be.
You want to try one more?
Yes, do one more.
Dear Life from the Path, my ex-husband had an affair with a woman who was one of my dearest friends.
Nope.
My heart is broken. My marriage is over. I have lost my home and my friend. It has been a struggle for me to recover. My daughter, with whom I am very close, continues to have a relationship with this woman. While I know it's not my place to tell her who to be friends with, she's 22, I can't help but feel betrayed. My daughter is pregnant, and this woman seems to be attempting to play mother and push her way into every detail of my daughter's pregnancy. It's extremely upsetting to me to have to share one more thing with her. She already took my home and husband. I would like to keep my daughter and grandbaby. What do I do? Here's the thing, you 86% people with your regular sex and outside of marriage. This is what happens. This is what happens to people, right? You guys act like it's just a nothing and like, haha, I should be able to go out to dinner with a woman if I want to, even if it's just me by myself and it's fine and blah, blah, blah. Like, these are the things we're guarding against, right? It's not just a, hey, every guy is going to have sex with every woman that they happen to go out to dinner with, right? We know that's preposterous. But seriously, this is the kind of stuff we're protecting against. Is there any reason this woman should feel this way? Absolutely not. There's no reason.
Right.
I don't even know what kind of advice to give her. You know what I'm saying? It's a mess.
She's hurting. She's been betrayed. And that's real. But she also shouldn't project that onto her daughter. It's going to hurt her personally, seeing that other woman's involvement. But let that breathe. That person's character has already been shown. I mean,
right. You're not going to prove a point here.
Yeah. And trust your daughter. try to keep quiet. I would try to keep quiet on this one and just pray about it and give us some space, because she's too close. She's too close to it. I totally get it though. At the same time, I would feel the same way, exactly the same way.
I mean, if you can try to look at it as is like that, your daughter having two women that love her is not a bad thing.
Yeah.
You know, and like if you can put it in any kind of perspective and go, you know, if they're not for us, if they're not against us, they're for us here. You know what I'm saying? They're for my daughter. They want to love the kid. They want to love the daughter. And granted, we're coming at it from two different angles, and I don't like that woman anyway. But here's the deal: like, if her love is genuine for my daughter, who am I to stand in the way of that? And you're right. I think Dan's right. I think you're just going to pray and have to figure out where you sit there. And you have completely full rights to be hurt here. But like, it's not going to benefit anybody to air that thing out.
Right.
Let's see. Segular says, although you cannot cut this woman completely out of your life because she is now with your ex, calmly discuss this with your daughter. She may have reasons that you are unaware of for wanting to include the woman to the extent that she has. I don't know. I don't think she has to explain that to you. Maybe, I mean, if you're really good friends with your daughter, then I'd bring it up. But, like, she's always going to look at you differently. Every time that woman's name comes up, she's going to look at you. You know, right. Like, she's going to have to withhold parts of her life from you because she knows,
right.
You know, that you don't take it in well. And you don't want to be in that position. You right. want everything from your kid. And you want to be able to help. What if she's having a problem with that lady? She's not going to take it to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're already biased.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's too much to act like you're going to be completely objective here. But, like, yeah, if you're going to be helpful at all, there is a selflessness that comes to helping people. You're giving of yourself, and part of that is to pull away some of your personal sinews in some of this stuff and actually be selfless in being able to maintain a relationship that has that in her environment. It's not that it's not work, but it is the right work. It is necessary to keep the relationship that you otherwise still want. Mm. Yeah, I agree. What was the secular advice?
I already gave it.
What?
Yeah, you weren't paying attention.
Dang it!
Yeah.
I was busy doing other stuff.
You came bloviating in with your own opinion after the secular advice already been given.
Oh, man. That's what I get.
It's format radio, Ben.
all right, well, anyway, you've been listening to Life from the Path. Actually, you know what I was thinking of? So here's the reason I was distracted. So I was playing the normal song that goes at the end of the show, and I'd been slowly starting to inch it up. But then we were talking about a pretty serious advice thing, and I thought, this jazzy number really doesn't fit the environment of this thing we're talking about. True. And so I was rolling in my head, like, should I play a different tune? What other tunes might I have? I don't want to end the show with some kind of somber tune. And then by the time I came back into reality, I had jumped what I thought was halfway through a conversation, which was really the end.
You know, you're giving me a little anxiety just even going through whatever's going on in your head, so...
Would like to be me. All right, thank you for hanging out with us on Live from the Path. Hey, I expected to get some dream interpretations this week, and I didn't see any. So if you're still down on that, shoot us an email at info@livefromthepath.org. We love to do it. Mike will do live dream interpretations on the air.
I mean, I couldn't be any better at this than you can imagine.
Yeah. It's because we don't believe in science, and so we do dreams.
I'm going to march against it. We'll see. Maybe we should play rugby or something. I mean, it seems like way more fun than just walking about in a circle.
Hey, that's a good idea. You can protest rugby? Like, instead of marching, just figure out a more productive thing to do as part of the protest?
You know, I always thought if what people are going to be out and about marching or whatever, why don't you just take a broom with you? Or a leaf blower? You know
what I'm saying? At least one of those little sticky things. Yeah. Pick the litter. Yeah,
get something done while you're tooting around town instead of sitting there yelling, causing graffiti or whatever. No, pick some stuff up.
That's a good idea. Maybe one of those push mowers with the blade, rotating blades on it.
Oh, yeah.
Old school mowers.
Yeah. You generate some electricity. I don't know. I mean, come up with something, Johnny Science Man.
All right, protester. There's more for you in life. Thanks for hanging out with us. Be faithful means God will handle the ends. You've been listening to Live from the Path.
Nothing in my trunk, man. Open up.